Okay.
Welcome to the Permaculture Pimp Cast with your host, the Permaculture Pimp Daddy and the Pasture Raised Pimp. Get your recommended daily allowance of permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Dip a pimp. Stay alert, stay alive. Permaculture is my passion. Oh yeah, welcome to episode 140 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, the only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. And remember, PIMP stands for permaculture is my passion. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest, y'all. 10% off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. And I certainly don't need to give anybody any reasons why you really want to get your preparedness on point, especially these days. Right off the bat, I want to give everybody in the chat a shout out. My goodness, man, there's so many in there. I can't. We're simulcasting between a couple of different channels. Ain't that right,
Sam? Right. And already something weird is going on because I'm seeing chats on my or like chats are existing in the computer screen that we're looking at that don't exist on the phones. So,
well,
I wonder, like, no matter which channel I go to, either Permapasture's Farm or the Permaculture Pimp Cast.
Well, hey, everybody on the way in, please hit that thumbs up. It tells everybody else that we're out there so they know to suppress us. So, I mean, it's happening. Y'all, it is happening in a massive way. William, when I get into it, I want you to tell them what happened with that last video that happened at the Kentucky Sustainable Living thing. But hey, back to the Heaven's Harvest, y'all. Remember, 10% off with promo code PERMA. You really want to look, nobody has said more about this. I'm sure there's somebody that has, but we've talked extensively about all the things you can put back yourself without having to go to somebody like a Heaven's Harvest, but all the things you can't source. I'm talking in terms of your water treatment. Maybe you don't have a freeze dryer. Maybe you want some of that freeze dried stuff to put back. If there was ever a time, I'm not being an alarmist on any of this stuff, but I'm telling you, you could tell by the theme of the show, I'm going to make it, it's going to be really real in this show. So I want you to consider that. But if you're going to get some, the things you can't source, go check out Heaven's Harvest. Remember all those seeds we did a video on a while back, not the 85% germination, 100% germination rate is what we got out of it. So go check them out. You'll be glad you did. Also, if you would like to tip a pimp, go check us out on the Fountain app. If you're listening to this in just the audio form podcast, you can listen to all the podcasts over there. You can triple up the speed. You can do a lot of cool things over there on Fountain, plus leave us questions. But if you're really down to drop some coin over to us, and I'm talking like a derivation of Bitcoin called Satoshis, we call them sats, SATs. So if you want to drop some SATs on some PIMPs, go drop it over there on the Fountain app. And to the lady that said just a moment ago, there was a number of comments in here. Don't worry, we'll try to get to as many as possible. Thank you so much. She said she just found us. I think it's a she. I thought it was Jen.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. So you say you just found us and you've been binging all the episodes. Well, thank you so much. We got a lot of people out there that are actually doing that very same thing. Hey, before we get straight up into farm news, I want to cover some housekeeping. I'm probably going to hit it a couple of times. We told you November 4th, this Saturday coming up, there's going to be a chicken processing at Renewed Homestead. I think they're in the chat right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Ben and Denise are in there. It's going to be at their place. And remember, go to renewedhomestead.com. I'm sure they'll provide the link here. Apparently, there was some sort of glitch that happened on the website. In fact, people were hitting me up at the Kentucky Sustainable Living Conference saying they were trying to sign up, but they couldn't. So all the glitches seem to be worked out. And sorry, I know it's been a frustration for some folks out there, but it's something nobody could really do anything about. It's what they do. And in fact, speaking of William, talk about what they've done regarding our last video on YouTube regarding something that should have been doggone benign.
Yeah.
It's been happening a lot lately.
Yeah. The last video we put up on Permapasture's Farm was demonetized because, well, they actually didn't give a reason. They just said it didn't follow community guidelines and wasn't suitable for all viewers. And then I asked specifically, so here's an update that you don't know about because I just found out about it. I emailed them back and asked specifically, like, I made it sound as if I'm trying to do right by them. And I asked, like, what's the timestamp where we had like an infraction, and then what community guidelines are we infringing upon? And then I get an automatic reply back saying, you can't respond to this email address. So
gotta
there's
love
that.
It.
Yeah.
Gotta
but it was it. One of the more benign videos that didn't have like, we did that interview with Bear right before that, and there was absolutely no issue with the monetization on that video.
But we mentioned, and I'm not going to do it right now because we are doing this live on YouTube, and we're simulcasting it between our regular YouTube channel and also the Pimpcast YouTube channel, which, by the way, if you're not subscribed over there, please do. Then we can go live over there. We're simulcasting it right now because we're over the 1,000 minimum that we're able to do that with. Yeah, this sort of thing is going on. And I can't tell you what it is, but I know 100% sure the reason why that video was demonetized. And Sean Ryan kind of got into it a little bit on his own kind of podcast, is because we mentioned V4CR. You see me wear that shirt a lot. And I can't say it, otherwise they'll go ahead and just kill the feed. But it's basically a veterans organization that rescues children. You bring that up, and all of a sudden you're demonetized.
Yeah.
And there you went. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just noticing this ball and shirt, by the way. This is Eric Sider's latest one.
This one's pretty cool, too.
Eric Sider's shirt on, but this is the latest one. It looks like, I thought it was an ornament at first, but it says permaculture is the BOMB. If I say that, they'll probably trip. So I better not say it for sure.
Duh bomb, Dad.
Duh bomb, yeah. Duh.
That way they're racist if they kick us
off. Like LaFon, duh. Yeah. So, okay, other farm news. I'm still playing catch up. You know, whenever you go out of town, as anybody knows, doing this work, you're invariably going to leave a lot of things undone. And it's like I've been nonstop going for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And then every time I'm away for any period of time, well, what I didn't do the weeks prior has been catch up. So, but honestly, there's been this strange, I mean, y'all tell me in the chat or anybody email me, let me know. But there's like this weird thing that's been going on around here. And the last several days, it's just Michelle, especially, I mean, all of us have been, or at least she and I have been unable to maintain any energy. And it's weird. A lot of weird things going on. I don't know if it's happening through these electronic devices. So I've been making sure the Wi-Fi was turned off last night, and I slept like $1 million. Made sure that cell phone's in a Faraday cage, the whole nine yards. And anyway, Michelle left her phone near her, and maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. But it's happened a couple of days in a row. And so, yeah, weird stuff going around here. And honestly, folks, I'm sorry if I haven't been as attentive as I would ordinarily be on Patreon and also on YouTube. But I'm having to factor in a little bit of cuddle time with my grandbaby because she's the sweetest little thing.
Yep. She's over there, I think, just chilling right now. She's just sleeping.
Here's the craziest thing is she is softer than silk. But when you were a baby, you were as rough as a shark, man. You weren't a soft baby, man. I mean,
she's like a soft baby. Yeah. She's just soft everywhere.
Like everybody talked about how soft babies were. You weren't one of those babies, man. You didn't have soft skin as a baby. I don't know what that was all about.
Thankfully, June does.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she is a little sweetie. Yeah. I love her so much.
That farm news, the baby and Emily are both doing perfectly fine. Emily's healing better than the midwives expect. And then the baby is, she's doing perfect. She's doing everything well. She's drinking milk now.
Well,
so
Anthony's saying he's been feeling the same way for the past few days as well. I don't know. I don't know if it's a spiritual oppression. I don't know if it's something in the zeitgeist, that metaphysical. I don't know if it's something electronically that they're doing. I'm not sure. I just know a lot of weird things are going on, and among those are the weather. So we go from record high temperatures to now record low temperatures, and now it looks like we're going to get into some measure of equilibrium before they decide to pull the next thing. You know, like that thing that's happening right now in Mexico, in Acapulco, we talked about it before. You know, basically hit with a Cat 5 hurricane, and still nobody in the prostitute media is talking about it. I mean, I'm kid you not, it looks like Godzilla walked all over it. It is, I mean, it literally looks like the pictures from Gaza.
Yeah.
And nobody is talking about this in the prostitute media. Now, keep in mind, there's a massive contingent of people down there in Acapulco that were extremely, let's say, freedom related. And all of a sudden, bam, right there at the front door. So a lot of those people, I mean, they're really, really suffering. But we got to talk about everybody all across the planet, except for the people that are in our own backyard. So a lot of American expats are down there. Most of them from a freedom, like Dollar Vigilante and a number of others that all living down in that area. And this is like the worst ever to hit Mexico, and nobody's talking about it. Weird weather up here. When I left to go to that Kentucky sustainability thing, weather was supposed to be pretty steady for a solid week. Next thing you know, bam. Like nobody saw this coming.
Got cold overnight.
Yeah, and it wasn't even in the forecast. So, yeah. So anyway, Ben and Denise, also from Renewed Homestead, gave us a ram. He's down there getting busy. And, you know, it's that time of year. So he's running all over the place, driving the girls crazy. But when he gets them all knocked up, that'll come to an end. And it's just what it is that time of year. So other little things we got going on is, man, talking about Ben and Denise a lot. We teamed up with them to go and hit a couple of apple orchards. And we were down in, oh my goodness. Well, anyway, we got a bunch of apples that are going to get processed. And the way we're going to do it this time, because we still got apple pie filling from last year that we never ate because we went on this low-carb thing. So obviously apples weren't in a bunch. Apple pie, all the things I love about apples, not there. And, you know, so here we are now on the flip side of things where here we are. We got a bunch of apples. And this is part of what I was talking about in terms of your preparedness. Now, keep in mind, there's a book called Old Southern Apples written by a guy named Lee Calhoun. He's actually from North Carolina, and his story is fantastic. So when Sherman did his March to the Sea, basically, a lot of people don't know it. In his book, he chronicles the fact that when that happened, believe it or not, the South was known for its apples. And a lot of slaves were taking and creating cultivars of apples that they could literally throw up on the tin roof, and then, you know, in the wintertime, they would eat them. And so that was one of the traditions. Well, when Sherman walked to the sea, well, they destroyed everything. And remember, you know, it is well that war is terrible, lest we should grow too fond of it. So a lot of those apples were gone away. Well, Lee Calhoun came out of nowhere, created these orchards here in North Carolina. I'd love to go over there and see him with my own two eyes, but he has a book that's out of print right now. And if you want a copy, it's about $300. And in that book, he chronicles basically his strive to go find all of these old Southern apples, which, by the way, is the name of his book. And he was trying to bring them back. And I want to get some of those apples for historical reasons and a number of other reasons. Like Ben over, once again, at Renewed Homestead, one of these apples, I was telling him about one orchard that had these apples that Thomas Jefferson, they were his favorite.
Yeah.
And then Queen Elizabeth, her favorite. And these apples go way, way back. And so it's not just growing this food, but your food can have an incredible historical context to what you grow. So it's pretty cool when you can grow these apples, which, by the way, if you taste them like that Jefferson apple, it doesn't taste wonderful until you let it sit a while.
Yeah.
Just like some of these old Southern apples. So the longer you would let them sit, the better they would become. So you can take, that's one thing I love apples so much for, is that they're great with sweet dishes, great with savory dishes, and they store a very, very long time if you store them well. Well, one of the things, this is a long way around for me trying to say what I was trying to say, is that we're going to take those apples and I'm going to freeze dry a fair amount of them. All four, I mean, we'll get into it in this main part of the podcast. So, hey, thank everybody for being here. once again, I want to remind everybody on the way in, if you're here, let the powers that shouldn't be know that we're live so they know to, you know, stifle the feed. So go ahead and hit the thumbs up on the way in. Be sure you do that. So Sam, we covered the apples, we covered all that stuff. Once again, for the people that got in late, because I know there's a bunch of people wanting to be a part of it, before we go to Pastor Lon, remember November 4th, that's this weekend, Renewed Homestead, limited spots. It's only 60 bucks. You're going to grub, you're going to walk away with a chicken, and you're going to learn how to process chickens two different ways. One way is the Salatin method, and the other is the Strong Bond method. Probably haven't seen that method before, but it was taught this last weekend, and we're going to show you how to piece out a chicken. So if you're one of those people, one of the methods you're going to learn here is, yeah, you can leave the chicken whole, and that's wonderful, but let's say you have a small fridge. I mean, we've done videos, or at least one video I know for sure, where I know this sounds crazy, but we've done it, and I got the videos to prove it, where we literally got 40 birds when we pieced them out using this other method into a regular refrigerator freezer combo where it's the top and the bottom kind of thing. I kid you not, the equivalent of 40 birds in that freezer, using this other method. And you're going to see it over there on November 4th at Ben and Denise's. So the link, I'm pretty sure Denise dropped it down in there, and I'm sure William's going to leave it at the bottom of the show. I know there was a technical issue. So, you know, the website's all squared away. So if anybody wants to go there, sign up.
Yeah, it'll be linked in the description.
All right. With that said, y'all, we're going to go into, and I'll announce again as this show unfolds. Remember, once again, let the powers that shouldn't be know that we're live. Hit that thumbs up, and we're going to go straight to the homesteading pastor, Pastor Lon.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. I hope y'all are doing well tonight. As most of you know, during this segment of the show, Billy and William have been allowing me to share the gospel by reading scripture and elaborating on them. And for that, I am very grateful. I really appreciate that, Billy and William. And I hope to all you listeners out there that it's been a blessing to you since we've been doing this. And Lord willing, we'll continue to do so. But tonight, I've been led to go a different route, something I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart. I'd like to take this time to dedicate this segment of Billy and William's show to honoring our elders. See, our elders are one of our most treasured assets on the planet. But unfortunately, society today are trying to push them aside. They're trying to make them feel like they're not needed anymore and not valued. But I'm here to tell you right now, as an elder out there, whoever you are, you listen to this, I'm 56 years old. So if you're older than that, you're my elder. You are greatly appreciated and needed and valued still in this world today. Y'all have so much to offer the younger generation. Your life experiences, your knowledge, your wisdom. You are a walking, talking library full of wealth and knowledge. And we all need to tap into your wealth and knowledge and read and listen to what you have to say to help us in the days to come. I want to honor you all for your sacrifices and for your selflessness that you've given down through the years, for paving the way for future generations like myself and those behind me. So I just want to thank you tonight, all of you elders out there. We love you, we appreciate you, and we are thankful for what you do. And as long as you got breath in your body, you still have something to offer. So I pray for my elders to continue to live this life full of God's Spirit, full of direction, and be a blessing to others. And in closing, I want to encourage you out there, take the time to honor your elder, to sit down and listen to your elder, what they have to say. They can teach you a lot. I just hope I can leave half of the legacy behind that many of my elders that's gone on before me have left behind to me and others. Again, we love you. We appreciate you. And may God richly bless you in the days ahead.
Amen to all that, Pastor Lon. Man, I got to say, I didn't see that coming. I seldom listen to what he says prior. When he sends it over to me, I send it over to William, and I try not to listen because I want an honest, visceral reaction when I do it on the show. I don't want to have a, you know, like, oh, I'm not going to fake it, you dig?
Yeah.
So I want to make absolutely sure. Oh, by the way, Steve Denard, my man, is in the chat.
Yeah, don't get us kicked off YouTube, Steve.
We'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, back to Pastor Lon. Good night, man. I mean, the elders part of it. I mean, yeah, he's, you know, a couple years older than me. So, yeah, he's my elder. But there's also those, you know, looking back at it, all the elders I didn't listen to, and particularly some of those elders didn't always give me the best, you know, advice in the world. And some of them, particularly in my family, but some of the best advice I was given were elders. Like some of the first, when I first got in the electrical trade, I worked with these two old guys, and I felt so fortunate to be around them because I learned, as Steve would know, I learned the old ways of doing things. And they were tough on me. They were hard. And there was a couple of times I was thinking about which grave to lay them both out in. But honestly, I remember getting so frustrated. I was fresh out of the Army. And I was like, dude, anybody says a crossword to me, I'm gonna thread their head with my fist. You know, that's exactly the mindset I had at that time. And then here it is, got me with these two old salty dudes. And I remember when I was just about, they pushed me to about as far as I'm willing to be pushed. And I'm about to throw a 5-minute flurry of fist on one of them. I remember Newt pulled me over to the side and he says, look, son, I'm trying to make you, he said, I'm trying to make you a mechanic. And that's an electrical way of saying, I'm trying to make you a old school craftsman. And, you know, right then and there, I simmered down. Now, they didn't ease up on me. They didn't ease up. And I had a chip on my shoulder back in those days. They didn't ease up on me. But I was so thankful, as I know Steve is also, because it's amazing that he's in the chat right now, because we've talked about this numerous times, where because we don't have those elders anymore, we no longer have any standards within our craftsmanship.
Yeah,
our
what trades. Happens? What happens when the generation below me becomes the elders? They're out there dancing in front of cameras right now on TikTok.
Well, that's part of what we could argue today, because honestly, during the World War II generation, which was at the end of a fourth turning, as Strauss and Howe wrote, during that fourth turning, everybody said the very same thing about that generation that had lived through the Roaring Twenties, and now all of a sudden, they were stuck in that crucible of really hard times called the Great Depression. And what it produced is a generation that some would call, and I think it's arguable, but some would call the greatest generation. Well, what produced that generation? It was that crucible of hard times. Well, that was the very same generation that's existing right now. So, you know, just remember that if you ever read that fourth turning by Strauss and Howe, remember the good guys don't always win. I could go long and hard in the history concerning that. Everybody thinks, oh, the good guys come out on top. Well, that's debatable. And then after what I talk about the main topic tonight, you might actually agree with me. Then again, you may not. Once again, if you're new in here, hit that thumbs up. It tells everybody we're live. So we always have a segment. We did have a segment called the Bad News, Good News section on this podcast. We got rid of the bad news and we do it solely with the good news now. When I can find it. And folks, I'm telling you can find the bones of Bin Laden easier than you can find good news. I'm dead serious. Oh, especially yeah. Good news as it pertains to farming, but I do my best. So sometimes, you know, hey, we got enough bad news out there. Do you really need me to tackle on top of it? Even though, look, I don't try to, but sometimes I go down that historical roller coaster and it doesn't always turn out to be wonderful news. All right. So good news. I'm going to recommend folks now. There's a part one and a part two. Dr. Shiva was on with Mike Adams the last couple of days, and he's running for president. He drops tactical nukes of information on there that you're not going to hear from any other presidential candidate. He's 100% on point. I'm not going to tell you what it is because I want you to actually go over there and check it out for yourselves. Now, based on my position on a couple of things, we've lost subscribers in a number of ways. And frankly, Jimmy cracked corn, and I don't care. Jimmy could be smoking crack. And I still don't care. Well, I do care. Jimmy, don't smoke crack. But the point being is that he's dropping a mountain of information over there regarding what's happening that you're not going to hear from any other presidential candidates. He's not sold out to anybody, unlike all the other people running for president. Every last one of them are. So when I'm going to call that good news.
Well, hold on. Make that. How many of them are? How many of them are bought and sold out?
Every one of them, except for Dr. Shiva. Okay. And he's the just one guy that's getting absolutely no airplay. And then when you listen to what he said to Mike Adams over the last couple of days, first of all, it's irrefutable. It's historical. It's on point. And like I said, I'll probably lose more people, but I really don't care. I really don't care. I'm going to tell the truth the way I see it, the way I know it to be. And you're never going to get the truth from the mainstream prostitutes. And you're definitely not going to get them out of most mainstream history books. Believe me. Steve and I and a number of others have spent a lot of time, even the Texas boys, we've talked about it. I mean, we're going point by point by point. Everything you're told that is true is a manufactured lie. And we got the goods. It's just a matter of getting people to wake up and see it. All right, so.
Yeah, I'll post the chat of that episode in the chat. There's the link to the podcast episode.
Yeah, go check out Dr. Shiva and what he says in there. It might open your mind a little bit because there's a whole lot going on today, folks, and most of us are brainwashed to think, well, I'll get to that in a minute. Anyway, here's some other good news. The Maine mass shooting triggers a spike in gun purchases. Okay, it's a sad thing that this dude rolled in there, pulled a Terminator on everybody in a bowling alley. Goes to show you, folks, stay alert, stay alive, keep your weapons with you at all times, and that's what they are, weapons. So don't start no SH and there won't be no IT in a bowling alley. So make sure you go armed and don't be slipping. Don't think like I talked about it a couple of podcasts ago where I found myself slipping where I may go in and out of this place. Oh, I'll just be a minute. Well, how many people walked in and out of that bowling alley and then there they are dead on that bowling alley floor. So make sure you stay alert. But the point being is that if there's any good to come out of all this, is that once again, gun sales are going through the roof. Now, ammo is starting to become the problem, as you probably know by now. Lake City, all these other places are basically having accidents or being shut down, and government's probably buying it all up. Well, they almost
spontaneously combusting.
Yeah, too. Yeah. All right. So the other part of good news is that it's like an announcement. Folks, this is really important. I'm going to do this interview on Sunday at noon Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to give Tag from Life Done Free a shout out for letting me know who this person is. Now, if you know anybody dealing with a health concern, now this is one of those things that could potentially get me thrown completely off everything. So we'll see how far we can go. But anybody suffering with any medical ailments, everything from cancer to you name it, you have got to hear her story and how she cured her son. He was 1 in 8 or 7 billion people on this planet that had the kind of cancer that he had. She's going to tell you how she cured it. And I'm going to have her on live. And then it's also going to play, obviously, as a podcast. But that's going to be Sunday at noon. I know some people out there are suffering from this. I mean, a great many. They don't necessarily have to be. I have a 8-year-old nephew that died early, a niece that died early. I mean, a father-in-law that died early, a whole lot of people that died early, and a cure exists, and he probably could have been saved, like Immortal Techniques talks about. So I want you to check that. What I'm saying, that's a good news announcement. It's sad all this happened, but there's people out there. There are people out there that with solutions. They're not allowed to tell you that they're cures, but this stuff is working. And yeah, I'm going to encourage anybody, if you get any health concern, it may not apply to you. It may not be something you even want to hear or check out. But I'm going to highly encourage everybody out there, not because it's posting my ratings, because everything we're doing in these platforms, all of it is being suppressed. Every bit of it. And the only way it gets out is if you leave us 5-star reviews, you tell other people. This is what I'm going to ask you to get out. And it's because it's going to be that important. So I want you to check that out. Like I said, it's going to be live Sunday, and then it'll post next Wednesday on the actual podcast platforms. Is that how it works, son?
I mean, we could live stream it that. Oh, yeah, yeah. You're saying live stream it Sunday and then post it on the podcast, like
right.
Audio.
Right, because okay. If anybody has any questions in the chat, I want her to be able to respond to them. So, like I said, this woman is something else. And Tag at Life Done Free, want to give him a hat tip for bringing her to my awareness. So, everybody out there, please stay tuned for that, because it's going to be worth it. Check it out. We got my man Eric Sider up next.
Hey, Eric Sider here, and this is your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, permanent culture. We revere places with rich traditions and cultures. It's a main reason people travel, to experience a different way of life, a different perspective. But where does culture come from? For me, food is the basis of culture, especially locally produced seasonal food. Most of history, humans have been focused on survival. Food would be at the center of that. Celebrations and ceremony would be focused on food. It appears that America has no discernible culture. It's all become an industrialized homogenization. Shopping and consumption are our main celebrations now. It's because we have lost that connection to land. Food is transported thousands of miles. It's rare to eat a meal grown where you are. And we can't pick and choose aspects of other cultures to adopt. They have no connection to where we are. As Bill Mollison said, if you travel by car on the highway, you've gone nowhere and seen nothing. Everything is the same. The only way we can create permanence in culture is with a sustainable land use ethic. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. If you're in need of permaculture t-shirts, a remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog right there, y'all. And I'm starting to wonder if Pastor Lon and Eric both have bugs in this house, because I got off the phone earlier today with a chef. And this dude, I met him a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, always on point. Eric is my man. So I was on the phone today with a chef, and I met him a couple of weeks ago. He's running a food truck. Now, he used to be a world famous anesthesiologist. He was so disgusted with what happened in the medical industry as of late. He says, okay, forget all this. It's all one giant scam. Okay, I'll give you what's happened over the last couple of years. I'll leave it to you to figure out what he's talking about. But he went in got his wife, and they said, forget it. We're just going to go ahead and buy a food truck, and we're going to follow our passion. And so I was on the phone with him today because he's literally, he's from this area of Pennsylvania where I initially came from. He called me up and he wanted to give me a cookbook from a guy from Coatesville, Pennsylvania, doing like soul food Amish cooking, if there is such a thing. So he's actually moving from Florida up where we live near North Carolina, and he's already trying to source local ingredients, local food, so he can run. I mean, I'm not even going to kid you. The food truck he had is the ballinest food I've ever had on a food truck before. I mean, Ben and Denise were there also. Man, they were like there every step of the way. I'm sitting here eating this grub off this dude's food truck, and I'm not even hungry. I'm eating it because it tastes fantastic. On this food truck, they're making their own tortilla chips, the whole nine yards, man. He broke out this sauce.
How big is this truck?
Dude, it ain't that big, but man, I'm telling you what, the sauce that he was making out there, he was like every other Ben and Denise had already gone by then. He's up here. When he knew how much I dug his food, man, I'm trying to give this dude every dollar in my pocket. And, you know, every time I turn around, it was sauce that he had made with some local stuff. He made this green sauce and his buddy made this red sauce, man, knocked my junk into my watch pocket. That stuff was off the meat wagon. So anyway, in line with Eric, I'm sorry, man. I just went totally off the rails. Once you bring up some grub.
Graysdale Farm says, what's the name of the soul food Amish guy? We're near Phoenixville.
I don't know. He's going to mail me the book. I'll have to make sure I let everybody know what that is. It's a soul food Amish dude in Pennsylvania. And this chef came from there. I mean, it's this doctor slash chef. It's an astonishing story. I can't, when he gets up here, he's like, dude, hey, I'll come over to your house and cook. And I'm like, hang on, dude, we just got a baby. We'll get you over here eventually. Chef Snow offered the same thing. Like, man, and look at that. Yeah, the food was amazing. This breakfast burrito they had, oh, man. I'm going to quit because The very next morning, I said I was all I could think about was this breakfast burrito. So I got some of the coffee that was next door. There were some local people doing some coffee. And then I got a hold of this breakfast burrito that Denise and Ben told me about. And I was like, oh, snap. And it wasn't like one of those typical burritos where they just fill it up with the potatoes and put like a little bit of egg in there and call that a burrito. No, I'm telling you what, man. There was a whole ecosystem up in that burrito of meat. I don't even know what was in it, but it was great. Anyway.
Dad, you got to get it together. Okay. we got to do a history lesson. Come on. What are you talking about, this food truck?
Hey, Eric, it's your fault, man. All right, before we get into the main topic, y'all, I want to remind you, as always, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. Remember, yeah, EMPs are kind of legit these days, and obviously it is something you need to concern yourself about, but your number one threat on your house is lightning. And nobody gives you a better guarantee than EMP Shield. They didn't reach out to me, just like all of our sponsors. There's not one sponsor that reached out to me. I reached out to them because the products were that good. And they give an ironclad guarantee that if anything gets past it, blows up something in the house, you're covered for 25 G's straight up to the knees. EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. So you'd like a tip of pip and do yourself a favor, go over there and check them out. You'll be glad you did.
Yeah, people are losing it over. You derailed the whole conversation in the chat. People are losing it about that Amish soul food. Apparently, a ton of people live in Pennsylvania. Yeah. I'm sorry about y'all's roads.
Hey,
but
I'm sorry, man.
At least you got the soul food there.
Man, okay, check this out. I didn't even mention it, man. I got a couple of shoe fly pies at the
you
last
mentioned
one.
It. Oh, did I talk yeah, about you that? Did. You talked about it scrapples. This episode, last episode.
Man, all I got to do is tell people where I'm from. Next thing you know, I'm going to have a load of tasty cake rolling up in here. All right. So yeah, that was one of those little things I grew up on in Pennsylvania. Anyway. All right. So let's get into the main topic here. Look, we had a quote from Smedley Butler. He's one of only, I think, 19 people in history that ever won the Medal of Honor twice. If you watch the little, what do you call that? Sound like the thumbnail before we start the show.
That yeah. Up there. Yeah. If you look at the thumbnail, there's a quote that he had.
Yeah. He wrote a book called War is a Racket. And I've probably read that quote. I don't even know how many times, either in the podcast or on the YouTube channel. Go check him out. But he was special. He was extremely special. One of only 19 people that ever won the Medal of Honor twice. He would have been the only human in history to have won it a third time, but he turned it down. Okay, he was an astonishing guy. I mean, it was like impossible to kill. and he was really something else. Well, he goes on to admit in his book called War is a Racket that all wars are bankers' wars. All wars are bankers' wars. And the quote in the very beginning of the book is basically, look, at the end of the day, I was a henchman out here for all these people on Wall Street, all the big money interests out there. This is what I did. We basically murdered people everywhere. And then he had, later on in his life, he had this moment of clarity. Let's call it that. And he figured out, oh my goodness, what have I done? So he writes his tell-all book, and he's basically trying to get soldiers out of what he called the sucker class and wanted to basically drop it down there. Now, he wrote this book. Sadly, nobody's ever listened to it because he's spelled out in that book how every single war since the American Revolution, well, really from all time, somebody says War is a Racket is available as a free PDF. Okay, I didn't know that.
That's Vicky Savage.
Oh, thanks, Vicky. Yeah, she drops a whole lot of great information out there. So, he basically laid out exactly how the war machine works, not only in the United States of Amnesia, but on the entire planet. So what I wanted to cover, a lot of people keep hitting me up because I drop snippets of history, of occulted history, and I'll just kind of give you a brief snapshot of it. And then later on, I might add some more to it, but I've never really stayed on a particular one for any particular time. But I'm going to talk a little bit about World War One and the reasons why it's important right now. Now, a lot of this is going to go off the top of my head, so if I got a date or two wrong, you'll understand the reasons why. Okay, and the reason why, look, y'all, I'm a farmer. When we do these shows, they have to be more impromptu, and I might be able to do a little bit of study, but by and large, they got to be more impromptu, and I got to rely on my mental Rolodex for a lot of this stuff. So World War One, why am I talking about that, and why does it matter right now? Because a couple of weeks ago, when this whole thing that recently just happened in the Middle East kicked off, you heard William and I talk about, oh, this could be the potential Archduke Franz Ferdinand moment. For those that don't know, basically, that's the official reason as to why World War II jumped off. What you don't know is all the way back to like 1891, you had these smoking drawing room. You had these smoky rooms. And I want to give a shout out to people like James Corbett. Oh, my goodness. There's a number of other people out there like Anthony Sutton, Dr. Anthony Sutton, wrote more on this topic than anybody else. And then look what happened to him when he dropped it out. He died penniless, even though he wrote some of the most consequential real histories that happened out there. And like I said, once he dropped this information, they dropped him and they basically tried to, you know, put him right off the planet. And he eventually died. So a lot of that information he wrote down in books before he passed on. But around 1891, you had people like Milner. You had people like Rhodes. You had people like William T. Stead. These were all British aristocrats at around 1891. They basically got together and they created what some call the Milner Group. Why does that matter? 1891, they basically put the plans in motion for World War One all the way back then. And they did it with the express purpose to make the world England, or at least that's what Cecil Rhodes talked about in his will and testament, which, by the way, he wrote quite a few of them, and he also died early. So, yeah, he wanted to make the world England, and he lamented the fact that the U.S. during the Revolution didn't really work out in the War of 1812. And so he had basically said, hey, this is how it's going down. We need a war to basically get everybody to get America back in the fray. So that was in 1891. And then later on, I think around 1899 to 1902, you had what was called the Boer War. Now, that was straight up by Milner. And these were all, like I said, aristocrats in Britain that made it jump off at that time down in South Africa. They got along just fine. They got along just fine, but they orchestrated a war, which is now declassified. The information is out there. They created a war that killed, dig this, 60,000 women and children in that Boer War that was orchestrated essentially by England. And there was some opposition in the aristocratic elite. But at the end of the day, people like, Rhodes and his ilk were like, yeah, sucks to be those people, but we're the ruling elite, and sorry, y'all got to die, but we need to kick this off. Like I said, 60,000 women and children died down in that thing, but you never hear that talked about in the history books. All right, so that happened. And then what we were realizing during all that time, because you have basically, you have during this time, a number of things that are jumping off all at the same time. Now, about that time, you have Germany basically like 10, 20 years prior to that, Germany united. Now, Germany was a bunch of little, we'll call them city-states. All of a sudden, under Wilhelm the First, I believe, all of a sudden, they said, hey, we're going to get our poop in a group, and we're going to become basically one nation, which is exactly what they did. Well, during that time, the same Milner group and all these other people saw what was going on in Germany. Now, like I said, this is all chronicled in the histories I'm talking about. They saw what was going on in Germany, and they said, oh, my good night. Their industrial base is going through the roof. These guys are blowing it up. We in England, our whole empire basically can't keep up with what they're doing just within this place in Germany alone. In fact, their ships were just a little bit better. Their finished goods were just a little bit better. They weren't a whole lot better, but England, according to the works of all these people like Milner and a number of others, all these people were realizing that if we don't put a stop to Germany, guess what's going to happen? They're going to basically supplant us. And that's exactly what they let they started rolling the dice, and they got all the prostitute media. Yeah, I'm calling that now. They got all the prostitute media to start putting a little bit of something here regarding Germany. They even helped foment the Japanese and the Russians when they were going to war. They even hooked up the Japanese, who didn't really have the ability to wage war, but they ended up sticking it to Russia in the process. This was all orchestrated to set this entire thing together. Well, then lo and behold, in 1914, what happens? Yeah. We'll talk about the part that you know about. 1914. So all this dice was getting rolled into action. 1914 rolls around, and then what happens? Okay, Archduke Franz Ferdinand. Here's what you don't know about that whole story, because nobody ever talks about it. He and his wife, I think her name was Sophie, they're rolling down the street in a convertible, despite the fact that there was a turmoil going on anyway. Foolish, stupid, but they did it anyway. A whole gang of people were going to murder them. One of them threw a grenade in the back of the car, hit the jump seat, bounced off, and killed the people behind them. So they got away. This is the part of the story nobody ever talks about in this. Yeah, it was actually in the history books. I can't even believe they admit this part, but World War I actually started as a conspiracy. So check this out. They go to the hospital. They basically get where they're going. And then foolishly, they leave from where they were to go back out to go visit all the people that were messed up in this bombing. As they're leaving, they're rolling by a delicatessen. And this old boy who should have been in on the first killing, on the first time when they threw the grenade, he says, oh, snap. They pulled up right in front of me. I mean, literally right in front of this dude. Now, is that an accident? I don't know. But he rolls up right there at the delicatessen, and he just happens to have his sidearm. Bam, bam. Shot him down straight in the head. Those royal people were stupid, and now they're dead. That's how it went down. So anyway, man, I made that rhyme, man. Like,
yeah, you sound like
this.
No, what's that one guy Dolomite. Yeah. Sounds like this is the history Dolomite.
Well, anyway, yeah, there's a Dolomite history right there, way down in the jungle deep. Anyway, he shoots him down, Abernobick or something. I can't remember the guy's name, but anyway, it's openly admitted that World War I started as a conspiracy. So they shot this old boy down. Archduke Franz Ferdinand blasted his wife, Sophie. Tragic. Bam. Now, all of a sudden, remember, go back to Milner and all these other groups. Well, during this time, and a lot of dynastic families were joined. And don't worry, folks, this is all going to make sense in the modern day. Just stay with me. So all these modern dynastic families were all basically one giant family altogether. One big inbred royalty tribe. You know, I mean, you can go and look at this stuff all the way around. Well, anyway, you had, after that jumps off, within a couple of months, so what is it? You got the Triple Entente, which was France, Russia, and the UK, along with Germany, Austria-Hungary, and Italy. So you got these powers colliding. And at the same time when this is jumping off, all the other smaller powers that belong to them, if you ever go to the World War I Museum in Kansas City, it will floor you. because, and asked me how many times I've been in that museum. I just wanted to know how bad they were lying to me back then. So I spent a lot of time in that place on rainy days years ago because we used to live in a local area and I used to be a butcher downtown Kansas City. But anyway, if you go in there, and you remember when I took you there?
Yeah, two things stand out from that place. All the Egyptian architecture there. And then also, like, it's an insane amount of Egyptian architecture. And then also the map that shows the trigger. After the assassination, there was a map there of all these arrows of who went to war with who because of who was allies with who. And it just never made sense. We went there, you and I went there multiple times. We would go there almost like every year as a school field trip. Yeah, we went there all the time, and it never once made sense.
Right. And it wasn't never meant to make sense.
Right.
And so you had all these interlocking alliances, and that's what they'll officially tell you in like the World War One Museum. And all of it is a bunch of BS. What really happens if you check out Anthony Sutton's work? Yeah, I'm gonna go a little deep in the weeds here. I might lose some people, but that's okay. This is Anthony Sutton combined with a bunch of other people as well. So what really happened, because you had all these dynastic families through Russia, the UK, you name it, all of them were related, okay? And all of a sudden, they're like, hey, you know what? Our population's getting a little bit big. We need to thin them out a little bit, you dig? All right, so this used to happen straight up back in the past prior to that. They would say, look, hey, we got too many people, or they're getting a little uppity. Hey, you mind starting a war with me, Joe? Yeah, okay, George, we'll get it on. So then they thin out the crowd a little bit. You know, they trim the fat is the way they see it. And that's exactly what some people will suspect that happened in World War One. But also, remember what I said with the Milner Group and all those people before them. They thought they lamented the fact that the U.S. was no longer part of his royal holdings, okay? So, anyway, the war kicks off, as you well know. All right, later on, we have the sinking of the Lusitania. And I think that was in 1917 that the Lusitania went down. Okay, and you know what? It was 99 years later, when they said that vessel was not a war vessel, guess what? The manifest for the Lusitania actually was declassified 99 years later. You know what? Want to know what was on it? Because it wasn't just people. They talked about butter, oysters, and none of the compartments were refrigerated. Well, we now know that they were carrying gun cotton, thousands of rounds, 303 yeah. rounds, thousands of artillery shells, all these other things. And by the way, the Germans kept saying over and over, hey, y'all keep playing. We're going to sink this ship. Over and over and over again, they kept doing that. And then lo and behold, what happened?
Does that whole scenario right there sound familiar to modern day? We're just sending over supplies over to Ukraine. We're not doing anything else. We're just sending over supplies. And then Russia's over and over saying, yeah, like, hey, y'all better quit.
Just like Lend-Lease right before World War II. But I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm not even going to touch World War II right now. I'm just talking about World War One and the overlay that is happening today and why we all need to be paying attention right now. So if you're just new to the chat, y'all hit the thumbs up because you know I'm dropping it like it's hot. Because there's some of this is stuff you don't hear in history books. Unless you go out there and seek it yourself, you're never going to find it out.
Well, Lusitania part, they taught us in school. They told us that was like they admitted that in school, that was like faked.
Yeah, well, I'm glad they did then because it, you know, would have been really helpful at 1917 when it right. really mattered.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, now check this out. This is going to floor you because this is actually written down. Guess what? King George was meeting with he was really the president at the time. It was a guy named Colonel Mendel House. Total polecat. His dad was like a Rhett Butler kind of guy during the American Civil War. Anyway, this clown, literally hours before the Lusitania was sunk, he's in there talking to King George, and then they're saying, hey man, it'd be an awful shame if something like the, you know, let's just say the Lusitania just got sank. Hours later, bam, right to the bottom of the ocean. Thousands or a thousand, I forget, I know it was 100 and some Americans killed, but I know roughly 1,000 lives all at the bottom of the ocean, all because of that. And by the way, it hit magazine stores. That's why it blew up so badly, because it hit some of the armaments that were actually in there. So what do we go? What happens? Folks, if I'm doing any good here, I'm weaving something of a tapestry that should make sense to the modern day. You ought to be having aha moments as I'm going on right now. So the Lusitania basically hits the bottom of the ocean. And then what happens? People in the Milner Group over there in England, and also the people in America, because they had been priming the American public all up until that time. They were like, hey, we're not getting into the war. Woodrow Wilson had just been reelected he kept us out of war. Yeah, you heard that before? Anyway, he kept us out of war. It goes to the bottom of the ocean. But meanwhile, all this was happening. You had what was called Babies on Bayonets. It was in all the American, if you doubt me, go ahead and search engine this right now. I don't know. I mean, I'm talking about it, so it may not show up, but use something other than Google, where Google Babies on Bayonets, World War I. We now know 100% without a doubt that not only the American press, but all the aristocratic British writers of the people of that time, people like Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, and a number of others, you name it, they were all brought to bear and they were made to write books supporting the war effort and basically telling lies about how everything was going down. Well, they have been priming the American public this entire time. Babies on Bayonets. Sound familiar? Sound a lot like what was going on right at the first Gulf War, where that woman, she was a daughter of a Kuwaiti ambassador, got up there on at the UN saying that they were throwing these babies, sticking them out from a NICU unit, basically laying them on the floor and doing all these. Yeah, war is atrocious. All the more reason why we need to be thinking whether or not we want to be part of it. You dig? So anyway, babies on bayonets. How many times in modern history has that been used? Because it's been used in World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, even in the modern day. Hear any of that recently? Has it been recycled? Because they know we live in the United States of amnesia. This is why I'm bringing this up right now. It was used not only in World War I, but that was actually a copy of what was done in several wars prior to that. Ever since we had a printing press, ever since we had a town crier, they know that fundamentally people, when they hear babies on bayonets, are naturally going to lose their minds. And that's exactly what happened. Because even after the Lusitania was sunk, Mendel House and a number of others thought, oh, shoot, for sure America's going to want to get after it. But it took a little more prodding. But it was things like babies on bayonets that got everybody, got their poop in the group, and basically say, okay, we're going to go off the war. Okay, so then what happens? American soldiers go off the war. Now, like I said, my numbers may, because a lot of this is off the top of my head, so you'll have to bear with me. So I think it was 1917, we decided we were going to go to war. And if I remember correctly, we were in World War I for a grand total of about 19 months. Okay. How many people do you think we lost in 19 months? 19 months in a war that we should have never been in and have nothing to do with. In 19 months, I think we lost. I really don't know for sure, but it was thousands. I mean, my mind escapes me a little bit there. But I know overall, at the end of the day, I don't remember how many we lost in World War I. I should know this. I want to say 100,000. And I want to say another 200,000 were maimed out of World War I. And that was in 19 months. Now, overall, in World War I, if I remember correctly, we lost 9 million soldiers and 7 million civilians. Sound catastrophic? Sound atrocious? So all those people out there that are saying, hey, let's go to war, maybe you ought to learn a little bit of history. I digress. So anyway, America gets over there. We go to war, 1917, until basically the armistice, if I'm not mistaken, once again, I think it was 1918, November 11th, 1918, which, by the way, it seems like we're coming up on that. And then, of course, you have that tragedy created by the Dulles brothers called the Treaty of Versailles. And that was in 1919, in June, if I'm not mistaken, of 1919. And what did that lead to? Set everything up for the next murdering corporate, which was World War II. Okay. I said all that right now, right here, right now, to maybe make some of you think out there. Maybe you might even want to pass it around to some of these people that are so itching and willing to die right down to the American, to the last American soldier in something we ain't got nothing to do with and shouldn't have anything to do with. Just like we shouldn't have been part of World War I. And I'm giving you the Cliff Notes version right now, folks. I could probably go for a couple of hours based on all the information you don't know and you were never taught about World War One. I know they call Korea the Forgotten War, but really the Forgotten War is World War One. So here we are. I started off in the beginning of this thing talking about the fourth turning. I think it was at the beginning of the whole podcast itself, talking about the fourth turning by Strauss and Howe. And now every 80 years, roughly, you have what's called a saculum. And in those 80 years, you're in that fourth turning. Well, the last fourth turning was at World War II. And here we are on the precipice of the next fourth turning. Now, you can go back every 80 years thereabouts, and you'll find some major conflagration that happened on Earth. And you got to ask yourself, did the good guys always win? I say no.
I'd say more often they do win.
The good guys, it depends on your perspective.
Yeah.
Because honestly, if you go to the American Civil War, you'll say, okay, did the good guys win? Well, if you ask the South, they're going to say no. If you ask the North, they're going to say yeah. Okay. It all depends on which side of that coin you're on. And at the end of the day, I'm not even going to get into World War II, folks, because if you think this is crazy, what happened in World War One? Maybe some of these things I didn't tell you about. And like I said, I could go on and on and on. Somebody will have to fact check me on how many actually died in World War One. And yeah, Steve says, I fully support the Monroe Doctrine. Yeah. You stay on your side, we'll stay on our side, which is essentially it. So when you get down to brass tacks and all this stuff, look, y'all, here we are. And there's another little pattern that happens. Like basically every 100 years or so, there's another major conflagration. When did World War One end? What did I tell you? 1918, November 11th, 1918. And then the Treaty of Versailles happened in 1919. I believe it was in June. We're a little bit more than 100 years away from that right now. You think we're due? You think the powers that shouldn't be might be pulling a few strings right now to get your kids and mine drafted and put on the first thing over there smoking to die so they can make money?
And they've been prefacing this whole time, hey, we have an overpopulation issue.
This whole time, and now this is exactly why I brought up in the very beginning of this, General Smedley Butler, and why he wrote the book, War is a Racket. Smedley Butler also, during the FDR administration, nobody's ever going to know about this. I want to talk about 1933, the Wall Street bankers tried to overthrow him, and he blew the whistle on it. In fact, they recruited him to do it. Never heard about that story either, right? Because the mainstream prostitutes are never going to tell anybody in the American populace what really happens and the reasons why. Now, I'm not sure where anybody comes down on any of this. I know there are strong feelings for people that want to go on one side and strong that goes on the other side. But let me tell you this. Everything you think you know about this has been told to you by profligate liars, just like they were back in World War One, talking about babies on bayonets, which, by the way, was a manufactured lie then, and it is now. You're not going to tell me. I mean, they keep recycling it because we will be spoon-fed BS as long as it comes from an official source. As long as that person is polished, has on a suit, stands in front of that, and we'll just buy it. We'll just buy it. But I got to believe that I'm not the only one out here that thinks this is all a construction of BS. And yes, BS means exactly what you think it means. Belief systems. And here we are, because you're invested in some reality that doesn't exist or that was constructed for you, or you're invested into another reality. Look, I probably ought to leave it right there. I think I've given, look, go back, check my sources. See if I'm right. If I missed anything, by all means, let me know and I will correct it. And like I said, I'm only giving you a tiny piece of what went down in World War One. But I want to tell you that every single conflict from that time to this day, yes, problem, reaction, solution. Better yet, it's the Hegelian dialectic, if you don't know what that is, which is essentially thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. Let me say it another way. So what happens when a problem arises? Fear. Okay? They offer a problem. Problem, reaction, solution. So the problem is, let's say, boom, a bomb goes off. Well, what's the reaction? Fear. Almost always is the reaction. And of course, you know, what fear brings with it. And then guess what? They got the ready-made solution on the back end. Problem reaction solution. It's as old as time immemorial. They've been doing this forever and a day. It's worked then. It's working now. It is more effective than you know.
But and they use it way more often than just these big events like this. Let's take Gaza, for example. Shut off the water. Now, millions in funding gets sent over that direction to send water. No water's getting there. There's the problem reaction solution. They're using it in just minor everyday things that nobody pays attention to because they're so used to it now.
You know, a real good indication of this is every single time there was a mining town, let's say they discovered silver out here or gold up here, the miners didn't make any money. You want to know who made money? The people selling stuff to the miners.
Yeah.
Those are the ones who made the money. And then, of course, you get the Comstock mines, the big corporate people get in there. They take everything out, and then it's off and running. Look, y'all, I wanted to do this. And like I said, this is just an overlay with World War One. If people have interest in it, I can do the same exact thing with World War II, but I could do it even better. World War One is significant because we're about a little better than 100 years from when it ended. And the same dynastic controls that went on back then, those interlocking confederates that happened back then. Do you see a little parallel now? So let's say, okay, so you got, let's just kind of overlay it in a most simple and basic way. This is why I used World War One at this episode. So you got Israel. Think about the circle of influence around Israel. Now you got, let's say, the Palestinians, and look at the circle of influence around them. Don't think that the same puppet master ain't controlling both sides. Okay, just putting that out there. So at the end of the day, what does it mean? You have these people that are vehemently on one side or the other, and they're having us go at each other in the center, and it's working beautifully. I'm just saying, maybe you might want to consider whether or not you want to get yourself involved, because now all of a sudden they're talking about military drafts. Well, son, you're a new father. I'm a new grandfather. They call you up and they say, hey, son, I want you. Uncle Sam needs you.
Come try to get me. Go ahead.
No, I mean
but, it's like, how much of the, like, okay, one of the comments, Big B says, I think the world is waiting for the Christians to pick up the sword. I wonder how much of this can just be solved by saying no. Like how many of us would it take to say no to the draft before they're like, oh, wow, this isn't working?
Well, I'll tell you what, half the Christians out there that I'm seeing are the ones saying, hey, let's go murder everybody. Now, yeah, that's not everybody, but I am astonished at the number of Christians who instead, okay, let's say you have a strong affinity one side or the other. At the end of the day, shouldn't you be, who is Jesus, the Prince of Peace?
The ones who are calling, the Christians that are calling for war, the fat, out of shape ones that are too old to even go fight in war. Those are the ones that are calling for war, well, not the ones that are actually going to be sent over there. Largely, like, if you look at just, look at how biased social media is and how filtered it is. If you go to Instagram right now, go to Ben Shapiro's web, his Instagram right now, and look at the comments. These people are not supporting Hamas. They are not supporting Israel. They are crying for peace. That's what people are wanting.
Oh, what are they paying attention to what Ben Shapiro's talking about?
Because no. Little, I'm not saying no. Little
fruitcake Marchie,
yeah,
couldn't fight his. I guarantee he's never been in a fist fight in his life. He's never even. He's the kind of guy that I can't stand, because I guarantee he's been one of those guys, and you've seen him before, like, yeah, the ones that run around, yeah, Asheville, that will sit here, that have never. You've been running your mouth at a grown man your whole life, and nobody's ever put you through a 5-minute flurry of fists. And that's exactly what he and the Hannitys and all the Bonginos, all the other people out there that are calling for war. And then all you, oh, I didn't forget about you, you prostitutes on CNN and MSNBC, because you're doing the very same thing. And that ought to give you another, if you don't think everybody's in lockstep, look, when I was gone this last couple of weekends, I've been listening to the prostitute media, and they're all in lockstep. But CNN will throw a bone out there every once in a while to the Palestinians, but they're all trying to get you to go to war. And these people that are saying, let's do it, the Lindsey Graham, you go be George Washington. Go get on that horse and somebody will shoot.
Here's the difference between the generations. You cheered on Bruce Jenner during the Olympics. I cheered on Caitlyn Jenner when she slapped the yarmulke off Ben Shapiro.
Yeah, but I mean, the Ben Shapiro's out there. Get on the first thing smoking. Go over there and put your butt in harm's way instead of Yeah, we're going to fight right down to the very last American. Folks, I'm sick of it. That's why I'm doing this. Look, I know that I'm not winning fans. I know that people are jumping off. But at the end of the day, this is why I'm talking history, because these are not new methods. These are not new tactics. They're using the very same tried and true nonsense to get you and your kids murdered and put on the first thing smoking to the grave. And then, sadly, a lot of these same people are going to probably, well, I'm not even going to go there because I did a couple of episodes ago. Look, that's where the topic is, and this is why I say it's getting real, because right now they're talking draft, they're talking all these other things, but I'm telling you, you better be prepared. That's why the tagline to this show is to stay alert, stay alive, because they're lying to you. And you can go over there and die for a bunch of BS and lies if you want to, but I ain't, and I definitely ain't sending anybody, and I'm not going to encourage anybody to go over there and do it. And yes, and I think at the end of the day, we all ought to say no. But look, this is why I gave you a historical overlay from 100 years ago. Even though the one at World War II works even better, I give you the one at World War I, because we're just a little more than 100 years away from when that happened. And then here we are. All right. So with that, all, we're gonna get to your questions here in a minute. But
oh, there aren't any questions in the chat. These are statements going on.
Okay. Well, I'm not able
questions
to,
on the fountain app.
Well, yeah. I'm not, I don't know how much of that. I don't have a whole lot of questions on my end, but I know that, you know, part of this is a give and a take. And I know, by the way, if you're new in here, hit the thumbs up. I don't know how many people agree or disagree, but look, you can't disagree with the history. It's right there. It's fact. And this is that occulted history that you're never going to learn. You're never going to learn about in the regular schools. All right. Before we move into the next segment, which is going to be the Q&A part, we don't have anything from Chef Snow right now. Want to remind everybody that if you need one, we talked earlier about Harvest or Heaven's Harvest. Now we got Harvest Right. If you need a freeze dryer, look at the link down below. But look, y'all, I'm going to tell you straight. Look, let me just put it this way. If you don't already have a freeze dryer and you want one, knock yourself out, but they ain't cheap. I'm going to tell you another way in which to go. I mean, even though it would put money in our pockets, look, don't go buying one because you think it's going to help out the Pimp Cast. It would. If you're limited on money, don't spend it on a freeze dryer. Spend it going out, getting yourself dry goods like we taught you before, your beans and your bullets. Get those things. A freeze dryer is essentially, it's extremely helpful, but it is a luxury. If you have limited funds, do not buy a freeze dryer. Go out there like we taught you before, get your beans, get your rice. Yeah, it's $6 or $7 more than what it was a couple of months ago, but it's still a bargain compared to where it's going to go.
I just did the math, like loose math in my head real quick. And the price of a freeze dryer, you could put back about over a year worth of food using the method that you showed in that video.
No, the price of one freeze dryer, if you get the big one.
Well, I'm saying like if you got like a average. Like
a year for a platoon. Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking honestly. Because we show for $100, you can put back enough food for 70 some days for one person. That was a video we did. But I'm saying if you got like 3,200 or 3,500, whatever it is, look, y'all, I'm trying to keep it as real as I can. Everybody's hurting right now. And if you have limited funds to get prepared, get the basic things we've talked about before. Get shelf-stable fats. We've talked about that. Chef Snow's talked about it. Get yourself some beans and rice. Okay, you're not going to eat like the Rockefellers during whatever happens. But hey, at least you'll be alive. You just need to worry about calories. So just get your basic things. Don't buy a freeze dryer if you're limited on funds. All right. So with that said, hopefully, look, y'all, holler if you hear me. I know not everybody's going to agree with me, but my history's spot on, and I'll have a debate with anybody regarding any of the things I just told you. So,
I'll answer this question first because it's pretty relevant. Question, could you make the live comments available on the replay? There's a lot of information in the chat each time. They are. They should be available at every live that we do on the PimpCast channel and every live that we do on the Permapastures Farm channel. YouTube just recently had an update. So like the location of looking for the live chat might be moved. But if you click on the live, and then like right down below where it says like comment, share, all that type of stuff, there should be a button that says live chat and you can listen to it. You can look at it as you play the video and it'll play it in real time.
I don't know nothing about all that, y'all. I'm just I'm just behind this microphone. He handles 99 point. If it's something technical, y'all, I'm not even in on it. All right. So I got a couple of questions here. We'll go back and forth. Well, we can leave it up there, son. Okay. We can go back and forth. Eli says, congratulations. And asks, what's the first chore the baby's going to do when she's on a homestead? Yeah, so if you're new here, I have a grandbaby now.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so what chore is she going to do? So
probably get eggs.
Yeah.
It's a good baby chore there, a little kid chore.
Yeah, make sure that rooster ain't out there tripping at the time.
So she's going to learn. Okay, that'll be the first chore, how to deal with a bad rooster.
Yeah.
That'll be the first chore.
Yeah, she's going to be spilling blood. Hey, blood that needs to get spilled is on that homestead or when you're out hunting.
Yeah. Got one from Casey on the Fountain app, and he's saying recommended tune, Getting Down on the Mountain by Core Blund.
Yeah. Somebody you know sent me that. Yeah. Somebody sent me that a while back.
Did we play that one?
I think we did actually. Okay. I think we did. Gotcha. We played that, I think, a while back, and that was a pretty good one. So anyway, there was, there's a lot of well wishes out here from a lot of folks that are, it's just such a joy, y'all. Thank you so much. And hey, I'll be straight with y'all. We pray for y'all every single, when Michelle and I are going to bed every night, we pray together and we pray for y'all. So we're going to ask you to pray for us too. And I pray that the Lord gives you abundance and a hedge of protection around each and every one of you. And also, I'll be honest with you, that the videos we put out and the information we put out is a blessing to you. I know there's a lot of new people getting into this space. And as more and more people find out what we do, there's a lot of, maybe there's YouTube channels out there that might capitalize on the fact, oh, maybe what can I do? But honestly, it means everything to me that I make sure that I give it to you correct as I know how to give it. And honestly, we don't stage scenes. We don't do any of that stuff. So, but yeah, at the end of the day, we pray that you pray for us. And believe me, we pray for you.
Real quick, I'll ask or answer Ryan Armstrong. What is your opinion on the best species of trees to have as rootstock? I would say that really depends on where you live. Like even apple rootstock could vary depending on where you live.
Well, I like that Russian anacoke. I can never say that thing right because it grows true to form, at least for our area. And apples are one of those things that, okay, let me just go up. Pears are my favorite as far as, you know, stone fruits and stuff like that. Pears are my favorite, but apples are really my favorite for a whole bunch of reasons. Number one, like I said before, they store forever and a day. If you get an apple like an Arkansas Black, I mean, good night. That thing will last you until the next apple season.
Well, yeah, it's that. Like it depends on also what rootstock you're trying to do. Like if it's like it could be. It could be apples. It could be all kinds of trees. But I would find, just as a general rule, I would find what does very, very well. That's like a heritage variety or something like that in your area. And kind of expand from there. If you're just struggling, I would start there. And then that's not to say that you can't go to like exotic, not exotic species, but just species from other areas in the world.
Let me say,
one that does better somewhere else, definitely you pick that one over the native.
We get this question a lot. Here's what you do. Go call 5 of your local nurseries. Yeah. Ask them, no matter the cult, let's say it's an apple. Hey, I'm just wondering, what rootstock do you use on this? Call more than one, because you'll find out that they're going to give you, they're not always necessarily using the same rootstock. So they're going to know better than anybody, because they don't want a bunch of people complaining about. So go to your local nursery and find out what they're using for the rootstock.
All right. Now I got one from the Fountain app. Got one from Rifle. Congratulations, Dad and Billy. Thank you. Appreciated the pig butchering class/demo. Was that another, but that pig had been gutted, scraped, and split down the vaginal plane? I think you mean sagittal plane.
No, Randy said vaginal plane but it's called sagittal plane. That's another story altogether. Have me in stitches.
The sagittal plane, all the way down to the skull. I have processed dozens of deer and could have gotten to that point my own. But as you know, there are always things you pick up whenever you get to see how others do things. Hashtag tip a pimp.
That's the beauty about actually, look, you can sit here and watch me process chickens all day long, but until you put your hands on it or you see it three-dimensionally, you don't really, you know, it's one thing watching it on the screen, and yeah, you can learn it that way, but you'll learn it even better in person. And that's why, like in this last pig butchery that we did out there, Darren did the gut. I mean, they literally just killed it at the house, man. They did that like a mob scene, bro. I don't know how many pig, how many bullets they put in that pig, but anyway, they had to kill it at another location, and then they brought it over there, and then from there, Darren from Hacks for the Homestead basically did the gutting and skinning, and then I cut it down the sagittal plane, which is basically down the middle, laid it on the table, and then tried to walk you through the cuts the whole way. Yeah, I got a lot of positive feedback about all that. I'm really thankful so many people were able to get something out of it. But yeah, if you want that, if we have an electronic version of that, you can check it out. I think at the website.
I don't think it's on the website. I can link it down below, though. Okay, it should be linked in most videos on Permapasture's Farm and the PimpCast.
Yeah, so if you want to know how to process pigs and you want to know, I mean, we have a paid course you can do. It goes into much greater detail. And then you get a PDF with it, the whole nine yards, where I teamed up with Jason from Sow the Land. So, and if you can't find it at my place, you can find it over at Sow the Land at their place. Okay, hey, I think permaculture. Yeah, this came from Colleen. She says, I think the PimpCast was censored on YouTube. Yeah, you think?
Colleen's in the chat now, too.
Yeah, Colleen. Yeah, and she says, congrats on the baby. So thank you so much, Colleen. She's wonderful. And yeah, I'm sure we have been. They're playing games as of late. And like I said, that last video we did was a shout out to so many people that were at that last festival and people that you ought to know about. And a lot of people aren't getting the notifications. I remember Pastor Lon got with me. He wasn't getting notifications. They're playing games because they don't want this information out, folks. The only way it gets out is if you get it out. That's the only way it happens.
Real quick, before we get to this question, I just want to read this one real quick. It says, I'm reading this from a distance, so bear with me. I just jumped on, so I didn't want to, I didn't hear the beginning, but I just wanted to say that because of watching your videos on the chicken tractor on steroids, my husband is letting me get my first chickens.
Awesome. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, we're glad to hear about that. You know, this is exactly why this is one of those things. The chicken tractor on steroids, y'all could, Jeff Lawton said, all the world's problems are solved in the garden. Chicken tractor on steroids, even if it were a single homestead, that's fine. But think about it. It is labor intensive, but you're going to produce more eggs. You're going to produce up to 3 cubic yards of compost a week. You can extract your birds that you want for meat out of that system. It requires more work, but I mean, who can't use the exercise these days?
And before the chat disappears, Aluminum, you're looking for a good online permaculture course. You can check out School of Permaculture, which is considerably cheaper. I think it's, what is it, like $25 a month?
$25 a month if you go that route. Lawton has the best online course. I'm not even going to kid you. He's got the best online permaculture design course.
And that's considerably more. But so, whatever budget you have, it's good for both.
Yeah, School of Permaculture, I've been recommending a lot of people there because most of us got more time than money these days. And at the end of the day, it's the training you need because the more of us that have this training, the better things are going to work out all the way around.
Got a question from Dusty and Chelsea McClellan. Question, have y'all seen the PFAF 500 Plants for Your Food Forest book? Which would you start with, that one or Gaia's Garden? Have to choose one. I'm looking into more variety than I have now. I haven't seen that PFAF 500 Plants for Your Food Forest book, but I would go with Gaia's Garden because I know it teaches you systems and concepts. And if you understand those systems, patterns, and concepts, then you can. There's really no limit to what you can do with your property.
Don't let it scare you. I mean, Gaia's Garden basically. I mean, it will go even further and explain what works well in the guild. What plants have these characteristics? Which one might work in your environment? A lot of permaculture designers poo-poo that book, but it's one of the most helpful books ever written if you're wanting to get into this space.
Got one on the Fountain app from Nitro Soil. Hashtag tip a pimp. Praise the Lord, the delivery and all went well. Thank you. Question on straw. When you're buying it mainly for ground cover and mulching, do you keep it dry under cover or can you leave it out in the elements? For animal bedding, I'd want it dry, but not sure if it matters if you're going to mulch with it.
Well, if you're going to mulch with it, I mean, you generally want to keep everything as dry if at all possible. And the reason why is because you may wind up getting mold on there. Then if you got mold on there, then you're going to put that in your garden bed. You want to try to avoid that if you possibly can. It's with things like straw, that's where that can really happen. It'll be less of a problem if it's in your garden bed because you've got a whole ecosystem out there that's helping to break this stuff down.
Yeah.
So if you can, you want to always try to keep your components dry if possible. Now, if you got a whole pile of wood chips and stuff out there, it is what it is. And but if it's fuzzy kind of mold, stay away from it. But if it's the kind of mold, if it's the kind of mycelial that looks like veins, you can pick it up with tweezers. Yeah, that's usually good stuff.
If it's fluffy, it's usually mold or mildew. And if it looks like fungal veins.
I just said that, son.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. I was reading the next comment. Yeah. Got one from Strider 47. Welcome, baby June. Congrats to the Bond family. Thank you. Yes, homesteaders, everyone actually need medical training. I've got that tourniquet on my tool belt and more stuff nearby. Check out Civilian Medical Podcast for plenty of medical info aimed at the layman. Also, I love that you pointed out Joseph saving food for the famine. The airborne chemical warfare has been intense over the heartland the past few days. Tons of great stuff in the show. Thanks. Keep it up. Hashtag tip of pimp. Hashtag yay for babies.
Yeah. Hey, y'all. Yeah. Also, remember, go over there, give us some 5-star ratings and everything. I don't even know if it helps anymore because I know how suppressed we're being. But also spread it around to somebody that you think might enjoy this information. Because, you know, look, like I said, we ain't getting paid for this.
It's actually just, we just did. Steve just sent us $5.
Stevie D.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, me and Steve were tool buddies for the longest time. For those that don't know, Steve Dedard, real good friend of mine. And he and I have been through a lot together, traveled together, did a lot of work together all over the place. And he woke me up to a lot of what you heard me talk about over these last couple of weeks. I mean, to a great many things that before I was too brainwashed to even hear. So that's why I'm a little bit, sympathetic to the people that are caught in a certain matrix, because I know how far it was for me to dig myself mentally out of that matrix that we all prepare for ourselves and that the powers that shouldn't be prepare for us. So Steve was very, very helpful. So folks, give him a shout out.
Yeah, Dad, we might want to hurry because Mom's going to knock down this door if she doesn't get some baby cuddles before she goes to sleep.
Well, it is all that. Is there anybody did anybody have anything to say regarding what the main topic was? I don't know.
Yeah, there was a ton of conversation going on about the main topic.
Well, I don't know if that's for or against because I'm not able to look at any of this stuff, y'all. I'm just trying to keep my thoughts together because I'm going through the pages in my mind trying to think, okay, do I have this right? Is it, you know, I'm dropping it out there the way I know it and the way I've studied it.
I don't think anybody's in disagreement. Well, like, from what I saw.
I mean, I'm really not caring. I mean, obviously, you don't do shows like this if you're too worried about what's going to happen to you, and you definitely don't do them live because problem is they'll probably demonetize this one anyway, but they ain't paying us anyhow. And in fact, well, I'm not even going to get into all that, but y'all, look, I want to make it absolutely, I can't stress enough in these times. I could sit here and I could go on and on and on about the concerning things of this world, but let's not worry so much about the defense that we forget about offense. Think about the things you can do. Okay. Within, you know, this area here, I can reach out and touch this. I can do something about that. Can't necessarily do anything regarding any of the things that are happening overseas right now. Really can't, don't have a whole lot of say on it, but I want you to be aware of it before you're thinking that it's your patriotic duty to go on the first thing smoking over there and get your head chopped off. Or that of your family. I'm pointing this stuff out because we live in times where, name one official story that's been accurate over the last 100 years. Just one. I don't need two. Just one. Can't find it. Just like I said last time. So just keep that in mind. Everybody that's telling you what you think you know about what's going on in this world, every last one of them is a profligate liar. Under Operation... Look, around 1950, I think it was, might have been 1951, Alan Dulles. That was his name. He was in charge of the CIA at the time. And they came up with Operation Mockingbird. And that was basically complete, utter control of the mainstream media. And back then, there was only 3 channels. And they owned anybody of note, they had them in their pocket. Walter Cronkite, all these people in their pockets. Bill Paley at CBS. In their pocket, all of them. They had them. And they, if it was that bad then, and you got that polecat Sean Hannity on his lapel pin with a CIA flag on his lapel pin, are you kidding me? And then they got other people out there, you know, known operatives of the CIA. I'm just saying, everything you think you know about everything that's going on right now has been told to you by liars. Now, if you had a friend in your life that lied to you 1/100th, you wouldn't believe anything they said. So why do you give these people any leverage whatsoever? So think about those things. Son, anything else you want to say?
Stay alert.
We ain't quite there yet.
So, if I'm not ending the show, I'm saying it just fits to everything that we've talked about on every single episode.
As of late, I would love to do episodes about nothing, but look, the science says permaculture is my passion. And that's true. It is. Ask Steve, when we were working together in our tools, man, no matter where I was, I'm always talking permaculture. It's been that way for a long, long time. This is my passion. There is nothing more I'd rather talk about. That and how Jesus saved me. There's nothing more I'd want to talk about. But when you get down to brass tacks, I have got to talk about these things because, frankly, not enough people are. And if they are, they're in the paid employ of the CIA or Operation Mockingbird. You dig? Hey, thanks so much, everybody in the chat. Thanks, everybody out there, for all the wonderful things you're doing and for the kind well wishes. Hey, y'all, for real, until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive. Individual, just a carbon copy. True, spitting that man a cotty. Yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they want to build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. Like a kamikaze, got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3.